Hello, this is Mary Wootland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, May 28, 2020. Still tinkering, second in a series, retail, Body and Soul putting best foot forward for Phase 3. Associates at Body and Soul won't be able to stand 6 feet apart from customers when helping them try on shoes, but they will be wearing masks. And when you're done trying on a pair that doesn't fit, no one will try on that pair for the next 48 hours, co-owner Mike Lindemann said. Like stores around the state, Body and Soul in Savoy is getting ready for a wider opening Friday as Phase 3 begins. We were able to do appointments for essential workers at the beginning of May, so we've been taking appointments, Lindemann said. It's also done curbside pickup and delivered shoes in the afternoons. We're going to continue doing that, Lindemann said. But on Friday, the store will be reorganized with separate entrance and exit doors and someone at the door to limit the number of customers inside at any one time. We've been wearing masks and asking customers to wear masks, Lindemann said. We're going to try to be as safe as possible and do the right thing. He credited Federal Paycheck Protection Program loan and the store's loyal customers for helping to survive the stay-at-home order. We've been here 41 years, he said. We're really thankful for the people in our community. Coronavirus pandemic, day 69 of the state shutdown. Illinois impact, grim milestones, 100,000 deaths nationwide, 5,000 in the state. Urbana 61802 has 8 of county's 15 new cases. On the day that the national death toll topped 100,000, Illinois became the 6th state to surpass 5,000 coronavirus-related deaths. The 160 newly reported fatalities left Illinois with 5,083. Fewer than only New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Of 389 coronavirus tests run on Champaign County residents, 15 or 4% came back positive Wednesday. Of the now 583 confirmed cases, 434 are considered recovered and 142 are active, according to the CU Public Health District. 6 county residents remain hospitalized. 8 of the county's 15 new cases were in Urbana's 61802 zip code, pushing its total to 88. 3 zip codes have more, according to health district data that doesn't distinguish between recovered and active. 61866 Rantoul, up to 146. 61821 Champaign, 107. And 61820 Champaign, 098. It's on to Phase 3 Friday, when restaurants and bars will be allowed to safely serve customers in outdoor areas. Among those planning to reopen, Campus Town's CAMS, which will have limited space available on its second-floor outdoor terrace and make masks a must. In addition to creating 3 picnic parks where takeout can be eaten starting next week, Champaign's outdoor plan will allow establishments to serve food and drinks in nearby public spaces and in privately owned lots starting Friday. Urbana announced its plan won't include closing any streets. Plan calls for testing all students on campus. Plans are underway by the University of Illinois campus to be in a position to test all students who return in the fall and give users of its mobile app the ability to find out if they were near someone who tested positive for the coronavirus. To accomplish the first part, the U of I plans to set up its own center at the College of Veterinary Medicine. The goal, to test 1,000 to 10,000 people a day, officials said Wednesday at a meeting of the Academic Senate's Executive Committee. We feel quite optimistic that we can achieve that goal, said Marty Burke, Associate Dean for Research at the Carl Illinois College of Medicine and chairman of one of 7 COVID-19 committees on the Urbana campus. The U of I is hoping to reopen its campus this fall, but classes may be some sort of hybrid of in-person and remote delivery, Provost Andreas Kangalaris wrote in a mass mail Tuesday. VetMed is already a leader in testing animals for the virus, Burke said, noting that it helped diagnose a tiger at New York's Bronx Zoo. The testing will be part of a comprehensive effort that also includes contact tracing, social distancing, and mask wearing, Burke said. There are places in the world where very aggressive and effective testing, contact tracing, and social distancing and mask wearing as a very powerful multi-part strategy have been effective. And we're studying those as carefully as we can to learn about how this can be done right, Burke said. The reason we feel optimistic is we have an extraordinary community who wants to get this right. Mike DiLorenzo, chairman of the executive COVID-19 steering committee, also said that a group is working with a representative from Greek Life to build buy-in of social distancing measures. The U of I is working with off-campus developers and landlords to create some sort of isolation dorm for students who need to quarantine but can't leave the area, he added. The U of I plans to begin testing its strategy soon with athletes returning to campus and health professional students, Burke said. We have a plan to do two pilot tests very soon, starting probably within the next week, Burke said. This will allow us to work out the details around re-entry, the quarantine involved, as well as the surveillance and the communications data monitoring. The modeling data, everything, all the pieces of the puzzle coming together in these pilot programs. We will learn a lot. There will be things we will do better the next time. Come fall, the current plan is to have everyone who returns to campus get tested. This is a principle that we're rallying around in our pilot programs, Burke said. People should be tested again 3 to 5 days later, he said. If both tests come back negative, there's a very high confidence factor that you are negative and you're not actively infected, Burke said. After that, in the surveillance phase, the goal is to prevent an outbreak, a super spreader event, from within our community, Burke said. He said the U of I will try to determine who is most at risk of infection and should be retested. There are lots of really good data and science that we can use to help guide who to test, when to test, how often, he said. The U of I is also building into its official app the capability to notify users if they've been near someone who tested positive. Apple and Google recently launched software updates that allow public health apps to use Bluetooth to detect random codes from nearby phones. If someone nearby later tests positive, the code sent from that phone will be compared with codes detected by other phones. If there's a match, the person will be notified that they may have been in contact with someone who has the coronavirus. Apple and Google are giving state health departments access to the exposure notification technology, and the U of I is hoping to get permission from the state to use its access. Right now, we are using code that Professor Sanjay Patel, his colleagues, and students have written, said William Sullivan, director of the RockWire initiative behind the U of I's official smartphone app. If we don't get that entitlement from the state, we'll use the functionality that Professor Patel and his team have built. Sullivan is also hoping to have the app be able to connect with McKinley Health Center, Carl, and OSF to transfer test results. Users will also be able to self-report symptoms and unverified test results, which will trigger different recommendations from local health departments. Sullivan said the app is being built with privacy in mind. We will preserve privacy, he said. We will use practices that privilege privacy and protect the data. At Wednesday's meeting, journalism professor Eric Meyer questioned whether instruction should be at the same quality it was pre-pandemic. We have to recognize that what we've been able to offer this spring and what probably we will be able to offer this fall is not at the usual level of quality, he said. While obviously saying safety is the number one concern, we can't expect to be as good as we've ever been when our hands are tied behind our back. Ken Galeras said the U of I has organized an online teaching academy for this summer to help professors. In his mass mail Tuesday, he also said traditional classrooms would likely be limited to 20 to 35% of normal capacity. The instructional day may be extended, and more time may be needed between classes to reduce congestion in hallways. He also said that since some faculty and some students might not be able to return to campus, a significant amount of material will need to be delivered online. Chris Spann, a member of the COVID-19 Academics Committee, said Wednesday that different classes could face different guidelines from their academic unit for face-to-face instruction. Even as the university must rely on online course delivery for modified instruction, we should still strive to maximize face-to-face instruction to the degree that safety allows, Spann said. The university should utilize face-to-face instruction where it can maximize the student experience in places like performance courses, studio experiences, laboratories. Local humane societies. Empty cages, but it could be temporary. 8 cats, 4 rabbits, 2 iguanas, and 1 dog named Dobby. That was the lineup of adoptable pets available in the Champaign County Humane Society website Wednesday. And even with some dogs and cats in holding and awaiting adoptable status, the numbers at the Humane Society's animal shelter in Urbana were low for this time of year, according to Executive Director Mary Tiefenbrunn. So where have the rest of the homeless pets gone? Tiefenbrunn says she can't say for sure, but she can say this is likely a temporary situation. It's a weird time, she said. Every time through this whole pandemic situation, we make an assumption about something. It's not true. We're just in uncharted territory. Typically, there would be about a dozen dogs and about 40 cats in the adoptable lineup this time of year, Tiefenbrunn said. While there was just one dog available to adopt Wednesday, there will be more coming along, she said. There were 6 dogs in holding and some intakes scheduled to come in, Tiefenbrunn said. Also in holding were 10 to 15 cats, plus a few groups of kittens in the pipeline, she said. Animals coming into the shelter aren't immediately available for adoption because they can be fairly stressed about their new living situation. They're placed in holding for a time to get them accustomed to shelter living, according to Tiefenbrunn. Anecdotally, I know that other shelters in central Illinois are also low on dogs, and I know that some shelters in the Chicagoland area are not experiencing this dramatic decrease, she said. On Tuesday, the Champaign County Humane Society transferred in 2 dogs from a shelter in the Chicago suburbs to help ease the burden there, she said. As of Wednesday, the Humane Society of Danville had a dozen adoptable dogs and about several adoptable cats, with the number of cats down by a few after the Champaign County Humane Society picked them up, said Kennel Director Elisa Julian. Typically, the shelter in Danville would have more like 30 cats and 20 dogs available for adoption, she said. Julian said she believes the lower numbers are linked to people simply leaving their homes less during the pandemic. Home for months, some people figured it was a great time to adopt a pet, she said. The fear she and other animal shelter officials hope they won't see come true is a big influx of unwanted animals when the state shutdown ends. People go back to work and realize they don't have time for the pets they adopted, Julian said. Tiefenbrunn said intakes of both dogs and cats have been down nationally during the pandemic period of March 13th to May 15th, compared to those same months last year. Dog intakes were down 46% and cat intakes were down 49%, she said. In Illinois, dog and cat intakes were both down 25% for those 2 months, she said. Dog and cat adoptions were both down by about 30% nationally from March to May period, but dog adoptions in Illinois were up by 9% and cat adoptions were down by 17%, Tiefenbrunn said. Some of what may be going on is that the kinds of situations that can lead to surrendering a pet haven't happened as much because lives for now are on hold, according to Tiefenbrunn. Nobody is moving, taking new jobs, going on vacation. None of these things that force an issue are happening, she said. Another consideration, Tiefenbrunn said campaigns to spay and neuter pets and educate people about responsible pet ownership have been successful, leading to a downward trend in the number of unwanted dogs being surrendered at the shelter. What's causing a lower intake of cats is harder to pin down, But it would be odd if there was a sudden sharp decline in the number of free-roaming cats breeding, she said. We keep thinking any week now we're going to get slammed with litters being born in barns and people's yards, Tiefenbrunn said. Champaign County Animal Control Director Stephanie Juice said the pandemic hasn't slowed down the work being done by local animal control officers. There were 4 to 6 stray dogs being held in animal control Wednesday, she said, but we have seen a huge decrease in cats come through the door. It could be that people are out less, so they're not seeing those animals as much, Juice said. It's just weird times all the way around, she said. And a sidebar to this article, virtual fundraiser gives dogs and cats a chance. Walk your dog or take a nap with your cat next month, and you can help raise money for the Champaign County Humane Society. The organization's annual Mutt Strut fundraiser is not only going virtual, but being expanded to include cats. The Mutt Strut and Cat Nap Challenge will run from Monday through Sunday, June 30th. Dog owners can take part by walking their dogs from home or around the neighborhood, and cats and cat owners can take naps. When we decided to go virtual, we thought, why should dogs have all the fun, said Humane Society Executive Director Mary Tiefenbrunn. Cats might want to help the cause while doing what they do best too, napping on the sofa, preferably in a ray of afternoon sunshine. To set up an individual fundraising campaign or donate to a pet, go to givebutter.com/muttnap. Proceeds will help support homeless pets. Prizes will be awarded to winners, starting with an event t-shirt and pet-friendly goodie bag for anyone who raises $50. Grand prizes will feature photos of the winning cat and winning dog on Triptych Brewery's fall brew labels. Well, that's cool. Top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy Vice President Jim Rosso. The easy-to-spot fiberglass horse on Michigan Avenue in Urbana is sporting a protective mask these days. Not that anyone has pulled aside homeowner Theodore Gray to ask about it. Maybe the horse has been up there so long people don't notice it anymore, Gray said. Gray's son, Connor, applied the mask last weekend on the life-size front yard statue, which drew renewed interest after it was explained in the April 3rd edition of Tom's Mailbag. I apologize for the extravagant use of elastic, Dad said, but, well, a horse just has a big head. The look promotes both a wear-it-don't-share-it campaign as well as a new family business, MechanicalGifts.com, which, among other things, produces masks. One clever option includes straw holes. I saw a picture online of someone drinking wine through a mask with a straw with the caption, "Somewhere in France," Gray said. I thought, gosh, if it's good enough for France, it's good enough for Urbana. I think we should start making these. Voila. Making sure the hole is properly sealed when not in use was the hardest problem to solve, Gray said. Gray, co-founder of Wolfram Research, said he's open to making the masks, holes or not, available for sale locally. If interested, reach out via email at theodore@theodoregray.com. We have the Teacher of the Week. Just because schools are closed doesn't mean instruction has stopped. With many educators shifting to offline, we'll continue to spotlight our area's best through the end of the semester. Witnessing growth in social skills, priceless. In her 34th year of teaching, Lisa Spezia has had to adapt with weekly Zoom conference calls, including a scavenger hunt with rewards at the end. She's taken to the new system quickly with her kindergarten students at Salt Fork Elementary in Catlin. Here's more on our Teacher of the Week. I find my work important because everything you need to know, you learn in kindergarten. I feel I'm responsible for teaching the whole, not just academics. Teaching them their ABCs is important, but teaching them how to get along with others within their community, right now their classroom, is a lifelong skill. So much to teach. I became a teacher because from the time I was a teenager and started babysitting little kids, I knew I wanted to do something involving children. I didn't really know I wanted to be a teacher until I was in college. As soon as I was in a classroom as part of my college classes, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I'm engaging students during remote learning by mostly meeting with the students every Wednesday via Zoom. At first, we just talked to each other about home, missing school, and getting used to talking into a camera. Then we started doing show and tell, a few games, including an indoor scavenger hunt. Everyone was a winner, so I delivered treats to every participant's house. It was a fun day. I also let parents know that they are doing great and to do what they can do and not to stress about anything. As far as my most fulfilling moment on the job, I can think of two. Watching a child begin to solve problems with peers on their own. It's a growing process. Some children don't know what to say in difficult situations with their peers. So with coaching and telling them maybe exactly what to say to help them be brave enough to express their feelings, you watch them develop their social skills. Then one day, it happens. You hear them talking to one of their peers and echoing the words that you have been helping them say. Priceless. Two, when a child realizes they can read, the best. I'm also passionate about animals. I believe the way people treat animals tells a lot about what kind of person they are. If I weren't a teacher, I would be a librarian. I would read stories to kids every day. Principal Eric Free says, overall, she is just a caring individual who strongly believes in educating the whole child. She is patient and creative. She does an excellent job preparing our students for a positive school career. The Cage. Baseball, softball facility, getting back in swing of things. Business to reopen Friday in Tolono after moving from Champaign. Plenty of businesses throughout the state are being impacted by the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The Cage, a baseball and softball training facility, co-founded by Ryan Tabling and active locally since 2008, is no exception. This has been the hardest 2 months, said Tabling, also Tuscola's park superintendent. It was close. If they went much longer with the state lockdown directives, I was probably going to have to close the doors. Phase 3 of Governor J.B. Pritzker's Restore Illinois plan, which goes into effect Friday, is allowing Tabling to reopen the Cage just in time. For a reason entirely unrelated to the pandemic, however, Tabling is moving the business from Champaign for the first time. The Cage will re-debut Friday in Tolono following Tabling's search for a new building that began last winter. The 111 North Long Street location will be the Cage's third since its creation, following Champaign-based spots on Hundman Drive and most recently Sangamon Drive near Centennial High School. We exhausted all these resources for trying to find buildings in Champaign and it was just too expensive, Tabling said. Luckily, we were able to find a building in Tolono that fit our needs and had a great location. The Cage was reaching the end of its second 3-year lease on the Sangamon Drive building when Champaign Park District officials told Tabling they'd be taking back the facility and repurposing it. Renovations to the Spalding Park baseball field that currently is home to Champaign Central's team necessitated the 2,500-square-foot Spalding Recreation Center's demolition in 2014. The center hosted Champaign-Urbana Special Recreation Program activities, and Champaign Park District Executive Director Joe DeLuce said those now are heading the 12,500-square-foot Sangamon Drive building previously housing the Cage. The Cage has been closed since March 15th by order of Champaign Park District in response to the ongoing pandemic. Tabling, father of the 2019 News Gazette All-Area Baseball Player of the Year Logan Tabling, wasn't willing to give up on the Cage because of this two-headed setback. Even though Logan is graduating from Tuscola High School and done, it's something I've always enjoyed, Ryan Tabling said. Whether it's lessons or rentals available for people, anything to have the kids have an option. I didn't want to get rid of it and be done with it. In addition to being financially feasible, Tabling said, the Tolono spot owned by Village resident Randy Grace is a reasonable distance from I-57 to accommodate various patrons. The Cage isn't changing much as far as amenities go, with Tabling saying one batting cage was eliminated and 5 still remain. The new building also contains a weight room as the previous one did. The biggest thing we lost was that luxury of having the whole entire place open up for a little more realistic of hitting and fielding true ground balls, said Tabling, referencing this new building being split into north and south spaces. We could do live pitching with hitters at Sangamon Drive because it was 100 feet long. The cage will open Monday through Friday with hours available by appointment at seeyouatthecage.com. The cage employs three instructors in Brandon Haveman, Donna DeBase, and Eddie Edwards, and Tabling said a few local college athletes who won't have summer league play because of the pandemic are also planning to get involved with instruction. Lesson and rental packages purchased before the cage's mid-March shutdown also will be honored moving forward. It's like crossing your fingers that we get new people who buy some new packages, Tabling said. I've talked to financial advisors and small business advisors about ways to try and get a wow factor early to help offset the hardships we've had the last couple months. One benefit of the cage's new two-room setup, according to Tabling, is that it'll be more easily allow staff to follow Restore Illinois Phase 3 protocols for social distancing and COVID-19 safety. This includes gatherings of 10 or fewer people being permitted. We've got the gloves, the mask, the hand sanitizer wipes, Tabling said. We even bought the thermal imaging thermometers for the forehead that we'll be able to scan people with to make sure that there are no temperatures. I just wanted to make sure everybody that came in here felt comfortable. Both during the pandemic and after it, two more of Tabling's goals are to get kids back into the cage and ingratiate the business with Tolono residents. To hear one parent say she can't wait for the doors to open because her son has something to look forward to right now, Tabling said that's exactly why our instructors are doing it. That's why I fought to keep the doors open. Champaign County Coroner, 62-year-old killed in I-74 crash identified. An Urbana man has died from injuries he received in an accident Tuesday morning on Interstate 74 in Piatt County. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup said an autopsy would be done on David W. Stockwell, 62, to see why he crashed. Illinois State Police said Mr. Stockwell was driving a van west between Mansfield and Farmer City about 6:15 a.m. when he drifted off the road to the right. The van continued for several hundred yards before crashing through a fence and hitting trees. It came to a stop in a field on the north side of the interstate. Mr. Stockwell was pronounced dead at the hospital. Piatt County Coroner IDs victim in I-72 accident. The Piatt County Coroner has identified a Monticello man killed in a traffic crash early Sunday. Coroner Troy Dunn said Robert Keefe, 50, died from apparent blunt force traumatic injuries. Illinois State Police said about 1:45 a.m. Mr. Keefe was driving east on Interstate 72 at White Heath Road when his vehicle ran off the road and overturned, ejecting him. He was not wearing a seatbelt. Zachary Dixon, 23, and Bryce Niddle, 26, both of Bolingbrook, were riding with him. Both were taken to Carl Foundation Hospital, were treated and released. This has been Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, May 28, 2020. Please stay tuned for Part 2.